Nope. We don't need to speed up the process. We don't need to nuke this. You know why? Because this is the non-microwave truth.
I am CL Whiteside, and this is brought to you by Time of Grace Ministry. We're jumping straight into our first world problem today. I want you to think about the life of King David. You remember the shepherd boy who defeated a couple wild animals? The shepherd boy that defeated a giant by the name of Goliath? The shepherd boy that later became king? And in his life, he had a major hiccup. He had a major failure. And that is when he committed adultery with a woman by the name of Bathsheba. This is in 2 Samuel chapter 11, if you want to go read the whole thing. But I just want you to think about this. When he committed that affair, when he saw Bathsheba, do you think that Bathsheba was setting up a thirst trap for him or for anybody? And this is the second part of our first world problem question. Can you go onto your social media and not see a thirst trap? And if some of you are like, what is a thirst trap? A thirst trap is when someone is showing off their goods, maybe a whole lot of nakedness, a whole lot of showing that skin, and they are trying to get attention, or they are trying to have a lot more likes and loves and comments with the heart eyes, or maybe get you to slide into their DMs. Can you go onto your social media and not see a thirst trap? And what I want to ask you specifically about this related to 2 Samuel 11 verse 2, it says, one evening, David got up from his bed and he walked around the roof of his palace, of the palace. From the roof, he saw a woman bathing. The woman was very beautiful. Do you think that Bathsheba knew or hoped that people from the palace would see her bathing? What do you think? It doesn't indicate or say in the Bible, but if you had to take a guess, what do you think? Do you think Bathsheba was trying to set a thirst trap? Because it sure worked. King David saw that and he said, boy, she finer. She thicker than a snicker. I need to know. Go find out who that is. Our brother needs to know. And he slipped up big time. And yeah. Two parts to our first world problem question, though. Can you go on your social media and not see a thirst trap? And second, do you think Bathsheba was trying to set a thirst trap? Do you think Bathsheba knew that there was a possibility that people could see her bathing all nude and that water hitting her body and glistening and everything? Do you think Bathsheba knew what she was doing? I would love to hear from you on Instagram or Twitter. My handle is championlife23. If you're on YouTube, drop it in the comments now. And this is our first world problem. It is dinner time. The title of our episode is Christians, Check Your Vision. And I just was thinking about, like, as Christians, we should definitely see the world differently. We should see the world from a godly perspective, from a godly lens. Like, we don't have to look at the world as everyone else, especially those who do not know Jesus Christ and what he has done for them. Like, we have a privilege. We have an honor. We are blessed to see the world differently. And there are four different ways that we're going to talk about making sure that we check our vision and making sure that our focus is in the right place. Because this can truly be a blessing to us if we have a different outlook and we see things differently. We see things from a godly perspective. And the first thing that I want you to think about and ask yourself is, do you search for the good or are you searching for evil all the time? Do you search for the good? Do you search for God in each and everything? And this passage comes from Proverbs 11, verse 27. I got this from my brother Brandon. He's been leading us in a Bible study that is geared towards focusing on marriage, being better husbands, being better wives, renewing that relationship through God, allowing God to be our foundation. If you ever want to see some good relationship stuff, some good marriage stuff with a Christian perspective, check him out on TikTok. His name is Team Whiteside, Brother Whiteside. Team Whiteside is the name, though. But listen to this passage. Whoever seeks good finds favor, but evil comes to one who searches for it. Whoever seeks good finds favor, but evil comes to one who searches for it. And in this marriage Bible study, we were talking about the fact that at times we are searching for evil. Or when we look at our spouse, we think that they're an ill will intended person instead of looking for the good, looking for the God in them. Looking for and thinking like, all right, they have goodwill intended. God is using them for good, because that just changes how we view things so much, how much more compassion, how much more grace, how much mercy we can then show to someone. And I just think about when sometimes people talk about racism and different things. An example that I use, and I probably used this before, is I have heard people say like, hey, I went into the store and you know what? Everybody was looking at me. And I'm like, okay. And they're like, well, they were looking at me because they thought I was going to steal. It's like, okay, that could be true. But for me personally, a lot of times, if I go into a store and people looking at me, I'm just assuming like, oh, they must think I'm a handsome young man. You know what I'm saying? Handsome young brother. Or, you know, they see me smiling and they like, oh, I wonder what this brother's about. And that's because I've had so many conversations that I've been able to share the gospel with, or just have a good random conversation with someone. You know, you smile, what they gonna do? They usually gonna smile back. So that's just a completely different perspective. And I think about this passage from Proverbs 11, verse 27. Seeking to find good and not seeking to find evil. And the reason I can have so much confidence, the reason that you can have so much confidence and have this perspective and really search for good, is because even let's say that person is wrong, even if that person is racist, even if that person is a jerk, Romans 8 verse 28 tells us something very important. And our confidence should be off the chart regardless, because it tells us, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. You have been called according to his purpose. He's going to make it work for good. So you might as well search for the good. You might as well search for the God in those opportunities to share God's love, to share who God is, what Jesus has done for you. Share the gospel, share the good news. But I know it's a lot of people that are super paranoid, super negative. So they're constantly looking for it. And a lot of times when you are looking for that, what does that do? That creates a chip on your shoulder. That creates weight on your shoulders. And that can get very, very heavy. So why not? Let's look at this from the Proverbs 11, verse 27 perspective, the godly lens of seeking good, seeking God so we can find favor. And then I just have a personal question for you. Do you seek God or do you seek evil? What do you search for when you go into certain situations? What are you searching for? And then ask yourself, what are you looking for? Like, that's the same thing. What are you looking for? And then you got to ask yourself, do you have any chips on your shoulder? Do you have any weights on your shoulder? And it doesn't matter if you have it from a legit experience or you don't even know necessarily why you have these chips on your shoulder. But just think about Romans 8 verse 28. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him. You love God and God loves you. So that can change the way that you view this world, and it should change the way that you view this world and how you see people. All right, the second thing we're going to look at on this episode of Christians Check Your Vision is, are you fixing your eyes on Jesus? Are you fixing your eyes on Jesus Christ and meditating on how awesome he is and the fact that he has justified you, he has redeemed you, he renews you each and every day? Or are you fixing your eyes on things of this world? Because it's a whole lot of mess. It's a whole lot of evil. I don't even watch the news, because every time I look, it's the bad. I call it the bad news. But I just want to look at this from Matthew chapter 14, verse 22 through 33. And I'm going to skip a couple verses. This is when the disciples were on the water and the waves and stuff were rushing, and Jesus walked on the water. And he said, Peter, come on, you can walk on the water. Starting at verse 25, it says, shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. Jesus was walking on the water. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said, and they cried out in fear. Now think about this. They didn't seek the good or God in this situation. And this caused what? This caused them to be afraid. This caused them to be terrified. This caused them to cry out in fear. But listen to what Jesus does. Verse 27. But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid. Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. Come, he said. Then Peter got down out the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. Now, us fixing our eyes on Jesus, that is absolutely life-changing. But oftentimes what happens is we get distracted by other things. And this is what happened to Peter. I'm going to jump to verse 30. It says, but when Peter saw the wind, he was afraid, beginning to sink, cried out, Lord, save me. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You a little faith, he said. Why did you doubt? So when you look at this and you just remember and you get into the word, you see that Jesus, Our God has control over any and everything. He has control over any and everything. The weather, health, the days, the nights. He has control over every single thing. So we can trust this. We can be confident in this. We can allow this to keep us calm through the winds and the waves of our life, because we got some winds and some waves in our life that we are getting too distracted with. We are allowing to control us. We are allowing to sink us down. But we can walk on water when we fix our eyes on Jesus. Verse 32. And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." And worshiping God is one of those ways that we fix our eyes on Jesus. Because if you're not worshiping God, a lot of times you're worshiping something else. You got to watch out and make sure you're not creating some other idol. And you also don't want to give the energy and the power to the winds and the waves of your life. That's figuratively speaking. Now, the third thing that I want to look at is checking our vision. How can we check our vision? The first thing is we have to make sure we don't have anything obstructing our vision. We might have some planks in our eyes. We might have some things like, "Oh, I got to get that out there. I got an eye critter. I got to get that out." Matthew chapter 7, verse 3 through 5. This just brings us up because it is so easy. It is so easy to point out the faults and the sins of others, but then make excuses for our sins, make excuses for our faults. That's pretty easy to do. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 3 through 5, we're going to look at that. And what I got to just point out real quick, what I want to point out real quick is that oftentimes the faults that we see in other people and that we can't stand about somebody else are often the same faults we don't like about ourselves, but we suppress it and we just blame it on the other person. Now, let's read this. This starting at verse 3. It says, "Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye?" And if you are ready to criticize someone, because we should, ready to criticize someone, ready to judge someone, ready to let somebody know about themselves, first thing we need to do is check to see if you deserve the same type of judgment, the same type of criticism, the same type of rebuke. Do you deserve the same type of thing? Verse 4 says, "How can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' when all the time there is a plank in your own eye?" So you think about that. A speck is like that big and a plank is huge. It's like, so most people be looking like, how do you not see there's a plank in your eye? And this just reminds us that there's a need for constant self-evaluation. And even more, we need to remember that God's grace and mercy is on us. So if God's grace and mercy is on us, especially when you start thinking about some of the things that you've done, don't get all sad about it. You just thank, praise God, like, dang, I love God. God is so graceful. God is so merciful. That allows you to show grace and mercy to someone else. Verse 5, I'm going to jump to verse 5. "You hypocrite." You hypocrite is the term he uses. And remember, a hypocrite is someone who could be worse than you or is doing the exact same thing as you, but they're acting like they're not doing it, or when they're doing it, it's not bad or it's not sin or it's not a fault. He says, "You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye." Now, notice that Jesus never said anything about it being bad to help someone out with the speck in their eye. Because sometimes people are like, "You shouldn't be judging me." It's like Jesus never said, he never said that. And actually, it's a good thing. But what do we need to do? We should first deal with the plank in our own eye. The very first thing we should do is make sure, like, do I have anything in my own eye before I start helping or critiquing someone else? I got to take the plank out of my own eye. And I bet you, you can think of someone that's always talking about, like, how someone wronged them or how they've been treated so poorly and nobody ever looks out for them. And they kind of like, "Poor me, boo-hoo-hoo, boo-hoo-hoo." And it's like, you can clearly see the plank in their eye, but they can't see the plank in their own eye. And they are the type that will minimize their mistakes, their faults, their sins, or they will flat out just make excuses like, "I didn't do that." It's like, come on, you don't got a lie to kick it. I know you did it. Like, you got a huge plank right there, boy. Like, get that out your eye. Get that out your eye. And it's actually sad. It's actually sad when you talk to or you deal with people like that. And it's sad because that person is going to be stuck. That person's view is so messed up that they are actually delusional. You just kind of like, why don't you get it? It's like, because they refuse to take the plank out of their own eye. And that's how people continue to be in a bad cycle. And that's where you got to check yourself to make sure that you are not in a bad cycle. That's one of the first keys to stopping bad cycles. And the analogy I want to use is like, your vision is so off that like you can't walk up a flight of stairs, and your steps are off, and you're trying to step, and you're trying to step, and you're slipping, and you're falling, and you're blaming the steps. And it's like, dude, you don't hit the light switch. You refuse to hit the light switch, and you refuse to take the plank out of your eye. But we rather blame other people. And that's why people sometimes are continuously falling and their life seems so hard. And you want to make sure that is absolutely not you, because that is not how God intends for us to live. And just looking at this passage from Matthew chapter 7, when you do realize that, man, I got some specks, I got some planks in my own eyes, it actually helps you critique and love and rebuke people better. Because all of a sudden, when you talk to them, you are talking to them out of a place of compassion and love. You view life from a more compassionate and gracious lens, and not from some arrogant, let me put myself on a pedestal lens. And that makes life completely different. That makes you just walk and be so more appreciative and so much more humble in each and everything that you do, and just see the world completely different. Now, the fourth thing that I want to look at on this episode of Christians Check Your Vision is that, what serves as a light? What allows us to see the best? What allows us to see and have that light is God's word. And this is how you see the absolute truth. And the passage that I want to look at today is from Psalm 119, verse 105. Now think about this. This world is a dark landmine and booby trapped filled world. And what is this world looking to do? This world is looking to destroy us. It's looking to trap us with its philosophies and its evil values. But what does God's word say? It says, your word, Yahweh's word, God's word, is a lamp for my feet and a light on my path. The Bible is our light. The Bible is our light, not the stuff of this world. Like, I want you to think about that. Do you use the Bible to show you how you should move and allow you to see? Do you use the Bible, or are you using things of this world? Which one are you using? If you really want to have the best vision, you really want to see life differently, you need your light. You need your Bible. This is how God communicates to us. This is how God talks to us. This is how we know which step we should be taking. Should we go left? Should we go right? Could I take a big step? Or should I take a little step? The Bible is going to do that. The Bible is absolutely going to do that. And I just wanted to give you the example of Joseph, who's mentioned in the Old Testament, Joseph, who became second in command in Egypt. And there were four big things that Joseph used the God's word. He used God's to make sure that he was checking his vision, and his vision and his path was right. And the first thing is, Joseph was obedient when he had his time up in Egypt. Remember, he had a woman throwing her drawers at him, and he fled from temptation. He remained obedient. Joseph tried to do right by every single person that he came in contact with. You think about that. Sold into slavery, he got into Potiphar's house. What did he do? He worked hard. He didn't try to manipulate this man. He didn't try to be like, you know what? You got me as a slave. I'm going to go ahead and take down your wife. He did right by Pharaoh. He did right by the woman who falsely accused him of rape. He gets thrown into prison. He didn't take his talents and his gifts and say, you know what? I don't want to do this. And this is the third thing. He wasn't too prideful to use his gifts, and he wasn't too prideful to be like, this job is beneath me. Even when he was in prison, he was working hard. He was working for the Lord. And Joseph is no way a perfect man. But what this foreshadows is, this foreshadows how Christ would do that perfectly, how he would use the gifts and the talents that he has, how he would continuously look out for people and do right by every single person that he came in contact with. That is foreshadowing the greatest person who ever did that, which is Jesus. And the fourth thing that we see with Joseph is, brother, Joseph didn't look for any shortcuts. He did not look for any shortcuts. And you look at his path, it was up and down, up and down, up and down. And what we see with Joseph, Joseph didn't keep a record of wrongs. And that foreshadows Jesus. You think about that. Joseph was in prison. Remember, he told two dreams. One man ended up dying. The other man got his position back with Pharaoh. And he says, hey, make sure you remember me, man. Just all I want you to do is just remember me, to maybe put in a good word for brother. You think he remembered him? The cupbearer remembered him. He forgot about him. He forgot about him. It might have been a couple of years before he actually remembered Joseph. And when he got out, Joseph wasn't like, see, I'm gonna have to get you back now. There is no record. There is no record of him being mad at the cupbearer who forgot about him originally. There's no record of that in the Bible. Now, what happens to us? Oftentimes in our times of waiting, we often burn bridges and we dirty stuff up. But we don't need to do that. And as you can see, as Christians, we clearly can see life out of a different lens, out of a godly lens. It makes our path clear, allows us to see what God wants us to do or not do. And that is such a blessing. And to wrap this episode up of Christians, check your vision. We got a great passage to summarize this and bring everything together. And that's from Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. It says this. It says, we do this by keeping our eyes on who? On Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. What does Jesus do? He initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. So do you think about that? The cross is one of the most shameful deaths. But if you were to look at the cross, if you were to visualize the cross, Jesus isn't still hanging on that cross. He's not. Where is he at? He's next to the Father on the throne. But when we think about that, Jesus redeemed us. He bought us back. He substituted. He traded places with us. And now we can have some of the same honor that Jesus has. It goes on to say, now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. So, man, our vision, we should have so much confidence in the things that we see, especially when we are using God's word, especially when we are searching for God in each and everything, especially when we are fixing our eyes on God. That's the stuff that changes the way that we see this world. So check your vision and make sure that you have your eyes fixed on God, on Jesus, and you are using the word to light up your path. And this is the non-microwave truth. I got a little challenge for you. Share this episode with someone, just one person. And if you're like, man, I feel like a different episode resonated with me better, share that episode with them. That's your challenge. Share it with one person today. Peace, punch, Captain Crunch. Say no to drugs and yes to Jesus. I am out.